You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
The coalition government recently announced its action plan for Q3 of 2024, introducing 40 new laws under the categories of infrastructure, public services, law and order. For our weekly catch-up, I spoke to Green Party MP Ricardo Menendez March to discuss the party's opinion on the action plan and its effectiveness. We started the interview by discussing the areas of the plan, focusing on law and order. One of the main areas of focus in the action plan includes 8 new laws aimed at cracking down on crime that the government titled Restoring Law and Order. Some of these laws include going through with the plan to launch military academies for young offenders, the Gang Legislation Amendment Bill, which includes the ban on gang patches, and a variety of new laws aimed at toughening sentencing and giving more police power. So I'd like to ask, what's the Green Party's take on this?
Look, let's make it really clear that these types of scorecards are corporate speak. They don't really tell you anything about what people will be feeling or the outcomes that those things will see in our communities. When it comes to the crime aspect of what they plan to do over the next quarter, I mean, it's also evident that they're going ahead with policies that have no evidence of working. And when it comes to boot camps specifically, I mean, we've just seen recent reports about how some of those initiatives have actually been really damaging for the New Zealand Defence Force staff, who they themselves are now basically whistleblowing and talking about how those policies do not work. And so we're really concerned that the government is pushing ahead with policies that have no evidence and that will ultimately result in more children harmed and the staffers themselves who have to run them feeling like they are being forced to do things that don't work.
I mean, with recent polls showing that New Zealanders don't feel any safer as a result of the new law and order policies, does it seem like the government's grandstanding with some of these new measures?
I think the government is focusing on things that do not work, and therefore it is no surprise that we're going to continue seeing people feeling like they are not safe in the communities because the government is not focused on tackling the root drivers of crime, which ultimately are things like poverty, lack of housing, you know, not addressing things like systemic racism. And ultimately, we are having all these interventions that are at the bottom of the cliff, like locking people up. And actually locking people up just results in more crime. And that's backed up by years and years of evidence that the government just seems to want to ignore. So, yeah, I would characterize it as grandstanding.
However, the action plan also involves measures aimed at cracking down on illegal firearms, rehabilitating and improving outcomes for prisoners, and introducing much-needed legislation to introduce roadside drug tests. Is it possible that some of the new law and order policies might have a positive impact on combating crime here in Aotearoa?
Well, we have to put it in the context of how much money is being spent on things like rehabilitation versus building mega prisons. And so, again, this is why these quarterly plans don't paint the full picture, because they don't tell us where actually most of the resources are being invested, when we know that billions of dollars are being given out to landlords and we're spending billions of dollars in building new prisons. It's really clear that not enough resources are being put into things like rehabilitation, building enough homes, ending poverty, which they in and of themselves would be addressing crime. And roadside drug testing also is problematic because, again, it doesn't actually capture harmful uses of drugs, which we need interventions for, rather than just assuming that testing on the roadside when we have things like police discretion where brown and black people will be more targeted will actually not result in safer streets or actually better interactions with the police, for that matter.
If the Greens were in power, what policies would they include in their action plan to improve the state of law and order in Aotearoa?
Well, we wouldn't be doing corporate speak quarterly plans, but I mean, for us, one of our key priorities would be to actually focus on building streets that actually create communities. There's plenty of reasons about how going ahead with having amenities, medium density infrastructure, good enough lighting, all of those things create communities that inherently become safer because people actually are more connected with one another. And things like poverty and homelessness also makes our streets safer. And in fact, it also makes our street fauna safer because we've got to remember that actually it is our homeless community that is one of the most at risk of being targeted by criminal activity. And those are the things we would focus to ensure that we make people safer rather than investing billions of dollars on building mega prisons and tax cuts for landlords.
All right, moving on to the next part of the action plan. Part of the action plan's infrastructure and economic development goals, titled Rebuild the Economy and Ease the Cost of Living, include policies such as replacing Three Waters with the Local Water Done Well Bill, bringing the Resource Management Amendment into law, and reversing Labour's speed limit reductions. So what does the Green Party think of this?
Well, I mean, we've seen how school communities have come out against changing the speed limits, particularly around school areas. I think there's this weird assumption from the Transport Minister that if we increase speed limits, goods and services will move faster. But actually, again, we know that in many of our communities, it puts young people at risk, particularly those that are going to and from school. And so I think this is another case of the government not listening to local communities and the evidence. And it's just assuming that moving goods and services faster by roads will make our economy better. We think the best way to actually transport goods across the country would be to invest in things like rail, which would actually free up the roads for commuters and people who need to walk to places like school, and it would actually, in the long term, become much more cheaper and safer way of transporting people and goods as well.
The government says these new measures are aimed at improving New Zealand's infrastructure and driving economic growth, but what kind of an impact do you think they're more likely to have?
Well, for example, when it comes to the transporting of goods, it's really obvious that the government is relying on moving things by road rather than actually moving things by rail, which in the long run, what it will do is lead to billions of dollars of road maintenance costs. And that is simply not fiscally responsible, when actually it would be far cheaper and more efficient to invest in rail right now, so that in decades to come, those costs are way cheaper, and actually we have a way more efficient way of moving people. We've seen already the cost of addressing things like potholes, many which are caused by moving goods by freight, for example.
The last area of the action plan details the government's targets for public services and includes measures aimed at improving outcomes and lowering wait times in the health system, improving education outcomes, and a couple of measures aimed at boosting employment and getting Kiwis off the benefit. So what do you think about this aspect of the action plan?
So you would have seen an initiative in the action plan to bring in job coaches, which is an idea borrowed from Australia. One of the key concerning things around putting in place the so-called job coaches for young people is that, once again, it hasn't worked overseas. And there's research from Australia about how it disempowers people. And all that it does is that it helps mega million-dollar charities to have cheap labor. And so we're really concerned that, once again, the government isn't focused on resourcing the initiatives that help connect people to jobs that match their skills and aspirations, and that the focus isn't so much about people living well, but having a resource for employers to tap into. And so we think this will lead to an economy of low wages and young people actually not being supported into areas that actually matches their aspirations.
Interestingly, one of the policies they've listed in this section as part of improving education outcomes includes opening applications for new and converting charter schools. What do you think of this?
Well, again, charter schools are a form of privatization of our education system. They have not been shown to lead to good outcomes. And I think what the government needs to focus on is working more constructively with our disabled and neurodivergent communities, many which have highlighted how mainstream education systems are failing them, and improve our education system in those areas rather than relying on privatization, which hasn't worked here nor overseas to improve our education system. And at a time where we have many of our school infrastructure in really poor conditions and teacher salaries not keeping up with the cost of living, we think that resources will be better spent by improving the conditions of our teachers and the infrastructure of our schools.
How would you say New Zealand's public services have fared since the government came into office?
Well, the government has effectively stripped away our public services. They've cut almost 6,000 jobs and have not committed to adequately improving things like, for example, our state housing system, the quality of our public schools. The government thinks that they can run better public services with less money, but all it will lead to is crumbling infrastructure, staffers like teachers that are underpaid and under far more pressure. And this will lead to poor outcomes for our students and people who require to use our health system as well. And we think at the end of the day, what that leads to is lower wages, more homelessness, more crime. And these are results that we'll start seeing not tomorrow, but actually once those results are embedded, which will be in about, 5 to 10 years' time.
Finally, to wrap things up, What's your opinion on the government's Q3 action plan as a whole?
Well, like I said, it's corporate speak, and the action plan would be better matched if it talked about outcomes for people rather than just a bunch of bullet points of going ahead with things that have no evidence of working. The government continues believing that just because they campaigned on something, then it works, and that because people voted for it, it's backed up by evidence. And we think the public deserves a government that is genuinely committed to putting its mouth on things that work, not just vibes that criminalize people and increase inequality.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.